Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You can't censor us.
This is Uncensored Parenting, talking about the shit no one else will. You've got questions, we've got perspectives.
Hello, everyone. Today we have Linda Richter. She's the Senior Vice President of Prevention Research and Analysis at Partnership to End Addiction. Her work focuses on understanding the nature, scope, predictors, and consequences of substance use and addiction, especially among young people. Linda received her Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology from Brooklyn College of the City of University and her doctorate in social psychology from the University of Maryland. Linda, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Can I ask you, how did you get started with Partnership to End Addiction?
I'm going to date myself here, but I've been with them for 25 years. So Partnership to End Addiction is a combination of two longstanding organizations, one Partnership for Drug-Free Kids, which provided a lot of educational content to the public and also direct services to families in terms of supporting them when they're addressing a child or loved one's substance use. And I came from the side that was known as the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse, or CASA, which did a lot of policy research as well as public education, but more of a research and policy focus. So yeah, it's been a long time. I joined them soon after leaving graduate school. Always been interested in doing research and influencing broader policies around issues that are important when it comes to young people and protecting their health.
Wow. Thank you. We need more people who are willing to do that. So thank you. So how much, now that we're in this age of vaping, how much nicotine is in vaping compared to like using cigarettes?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. So the classic comparison is typically pertaining to Juul, which was one of the most popular types of vaping products that came out in the, you know, early to mid 2010s, I guess. And the comparison there was about 20 cigarettes to one pod or cartridge of Juul. So no one's downing a whole cartridge in one sitting. But that was, so it's about basically like a pack of cigarettes to a cartridge. But okay. I do have to say that since that time, there's been what people are calling like a nicotine arms race, where newer companies and, you know, manufacturers are putting a lot more nicotine into those cartridges or pods that go into the vape pens or the electronic cigarettes. So currently, you know, there's a wide range, honestly, but the general estimate is that one cartridge or pod is equivalent to about 1 to 2 packs of cigarettes. And again, it's very hard to determine because some people will go through a cartridge or a pod, you know, in 2 months, and some people will do it in a week. So that's generally the equivalent.
How come they're racing to have more nicotine in there? Is it because people are building tolerance towards it?
So nicotine is the addictive substance in all tobacco and nicotine products, obviously. It's what keeps people coming back for more. So the more nicotine in it, the more quickly and efficiently you're addicting people to the product you're trying to sell, which presents you with a nice, big, loyal, lasting customer base. So yeah, the regulations around this are pretty weak at this point. There's some movement in Congress to kind of limit the amount of nicotine that could be in these kind of products, but it hasn't really gone very far because of a whole host of reasons and lobbyists and money, et cetera. Whole other podcast. the other thing about nicotine in vapes or e-cigarettes that I think is worth people knowing is that the nature of the nicotine is a little different than it is in cigarettes. So what these companies have done is use something called nicotine salt, which is a sort of a formulation of the nicotine that is much easier to kind of ingest or inhale, it doesn't produce the same kind of harsh feeling that a cigarette might when you inhale it. It's a little smoother going down, which allows for more inhalation and deeper inhalation. So the comparisons are difficult. And I'll just tell you one more reason why the comparisons are difficult between cigarettes and nicotine is that, and vaping, is because of all the laws we have in this country around where and when you could smoke a cigarette. It's, for the most part, especially for young people, pretty restricted, right? So they're hiding it, you know, maybe after school or in their backyard or when no one's looking at them, as opposed to vapes, which are very discreet. They don't produce the same kind of smell. You know, kids could just sort of hide them in their sweatshirt and take a puff here and there. So what's happening is young people are using or inhaling the nicotine so much more frequently throughout the day when they use an e-cigarette or a vape compared to what they might with a cigarette. Not to say that they're more dangerous than cigarettes. Cigarettes are awful. But I always say, like, you know, when you people compare cigarettes to e-cigarettes, it's like saying, you know, would you rather your child jump off the 57th floor of a building or the 53rd floor of a building? I mean, they're dangerous, right?
So. Right. Just recently, I found out that my son was vaping, and the biggest thing that challenged me after all of this is looking back. And when I would pick him up after school, I'd be like, oh, you smell so good. And he'd be like, thanks. And I didn't even put two and two together, but it was because he was vaping. And it wasn't until after I realized he was vaping that now that's a huge indicator now for me that his, if his smell changes to be good, but that's a little bit different. Like when we grew up and our kids or our parents could smell the cigarette smoke, they would call you out on it. But it's a lot more challenging nowadays with vaping because you can't smell it.
Right. I mean, it does produce a very faint smell, and it's usually, like you said, kind of sweet or nice, like bubblegum or candy. So it's really hard to tell on young kids. So, right, we lost some of these detection tips that we used to have with cigarettes. There's not that big puff of smoke. It doesn't smell. Their breath isn't awful. It's a whole different ballgame.
So can we back up just a little bit? And is there like a basic definition of vaping that we can provide the audience for in case people don't know?
Sure. I would say vaping is a misnomer, actually, because when you say vaping, it sort of implies that it's kind of an innocuous water vapor that's coming out of the product. The scientists and the people who really know how to talk about this stuff call it an aerosol, because aerosol implies more that there are particulates and compounds and things that are coming out in the exhalation. So a vape is any device that has an electronic component to it, usually a battery that could be recharged in most cases. And it has a cartridge or a pod on it usually that contains e-liquid. And the liquid is what you're inhaling when you vape. So these products also come in other forms. There are like the tanks and the mods, and there's all these different iterations of it. But when we're talking about young people, the majority of them are using these either vape pens or e-cigarettes or those sleek looking rectangular shaped items. So in that cartridge, which contains the e-liquid that people are inhaling when they vape, is the nicotine. In some cases, it's THC or marijuana, but we'll talk about nicotine now. It used to be just about always flavors. There are some more restrictions now on flavors and products. So it depends which products you're buying and whether they're regulated or not, but it may have flavors in it. And then there are a whole host of other compounds that frankly are quite toxic and potentially cancerous and quite dangerous. And often particulates or heavy metals are in there as well. So what you're inhaling is not harmless vapor. It is a whole host of compounds and particles that go into your system.
Wow.
I wasn't aware of that. So what are some of the risks then to vaping? Like, what are some of the consequences of vaping?
Yeah, there's a bunch. Sorry to tell you this, Sarah. You know, you're concerned about your child. So the nicotine itself is quite harmful. For a long time, the line was, well, nicotine isn't the issue with cigarettes. It's the tobacco and the tar and the smoke, and nicotine is fine. Well, nicotine is actually a highly addictive drug, honestly. It is a stimulant. It's not the same as cocaine and caffeine, but it has like those similar properties of, you know, causing arousal. There are parts of your brain that have receptors that fit nicely with the nicotine that goes in, that you put into your system, because there's some natural similar kind of substances in your body. So nicotine has all sorts of effects, and we can go into that more if you want, but it's essentially affects almost every system, cardiac effects, respiratory effects, and most importantly, it can lead to addiction. And it does lead to addiction quite quickly, actually, more so than a lot of other substances that we worry about. The reason people often put nicotine off to the side is because, unlike alcohol or many drugs, someone who's addicted to nicotine is typically not being harmful to somebody else. It's more to themselves. But there are a whole host of illnesses and mental health issues and other things that go along with a nicotine addiction. So it is concerning. So that's one of the risks, and that's the big one. And we do know that kids who use vaping products do get addicted quite quickly, have a really hard time quitting, and they are at higher risk of using other substances as well. Because once you prime the brain for any kind of addictive substance, it is ready for the next one. And it's, you know, people used to use the term gateway drug. Like, we try not to use that anymore because it, whatever, it had all these connotations. But the truth is, the research is certainly showing that when young people are using nicotine through vaping products, they're at much higher risk of using other kind of tobacco and nicotine products, including cigarettes, including cigars, including oral products, and then also other substances. So it just kind of pushes forward the whole addiction problem within the individual. So the respiratory issues are the more short-term concerns. So a lot of kids who vape frequently, they may notice that they have, you know, shortness of breath, or if they have asthma, can worsen those symptoms. They might, you know, have more wheezing. They may have, you know, less physical energy, even though they might be a little bit more hyper mentally. And then people are seeing also some, you know, mental health or psychological symptoms or behavioral symptoms. So there could be more edginess and irritability, snappiness, anxiety, a little bit depression. It sort of depends on the frequency and intensity of which it's used. So like any psychoactive or substance that affects the brain, you're going to see a host of outcomes like that.
So I'm curious, what causes, like, what in that causes the whole mess with the brain to create some depression and anxiety?
So it's a stimulant. And again, think about, I'm not trying to do a scare tactic that it's the same thing as if your child's using cocaine. It's not. It's a whole other type of drug, although it is equally or more addictive than cocaine. But think about when you drink a lot of caffeine, right? Or you've had like just too much. You're jumpy, you're irritable, you're edgy. So that happens. It's a stimulant to your brain, and yeah, That's exactly what it does. The depression comes more from, you know, it's unclear if the nicotine itself is causing depression. Like, the research is not that great on that. There is some evidence that it might be increasing the risk of anxiety. But when it comes to depression, I think what we're seeing with young people is more that young people who have some mental health issues related to depressive symptoms or anxiety symptoms might be more prone to use it, because it does temporarily sort of soothe things, even though it's a stimulant, and can kind of even them out and concentrate them and focus them. Over time, it's going to worsen those symptoms, though. So when a young person is vaping a lot and not just sort of trying it once in a while with a friend, the first question I would ask as a parent is my child like dealing with something else or trying to use this in order to kind of help allay some of the symptoms that he or she is experiencing, with anxiety, depression, insecurity, social problems, or a whole host of other things, including eating disorders. I'll throw that in there because it's a stimulant and it's also somewhat of an appetite suppressant. So a lot of people who are young, who are interested in sort of controlling their weight or have body image issues, may see kind of the results they want when they start vaping a lot, because it is an appetite suppressant.
Well, when I grew up, I started smoking when I was like in sixth grade, and I started early, and I actually haven't smoked for like the last 7 years. I think it's been about 7 years. I actually forget that I've even smoked, but I think about when I was younger and why I even started. I feel like the reason why I did it was complete, like, oh, I want to be cool. Like, I want to be the cool person. And this is why, and everybody was doing it. So I started doing it. And it was a very long road of smoking. I mean, I had quit a million times and then kept going back. And it was really hard to complete that and actually get off and stay off of smoking cigarettes. And so do we see that it's even harder with vaping because of the amount of nicotine that's in there?
Yeah, it's a great question. And yes, the answer is yes. It is. Think about somebody who's been smoking their whole life, and you're a great example. You haven't been smoking your whole life, but you have this sense how hard it is to quit as an adult, yeah. Right? Now imagine a 12 or 13-year-old or 14-year-old, which is the age where a lot of these kids are starting, with all that they're going through and their puberty, and they're not fully developed mentally, or the brain isn't fully developed, and they have so many things going on. And then we're getting mad at them because they got addicted to a product that is loaded with an addictive ingredient. Like, yeah. We shouldn't be doing that. It's completely logical that they're getting addicted to it quickly, because that's the point of it. And yes, because of the things I said earlier about the higher nicotine content and the frequency during the day with which kids who are using it are ingesting the nicotine, just the dose of nicotine that's going into some of these kids is so high that quitting it is quite difficult. It's possible, but it's difficult. The other thing I would say from what you just mentioned was, a lot of times when people talk about vaping or any kind of substance use, and they're asked, well, why do kids do it? The answer is, you know, they have a mental health problem, they're struggling with something, and that is true for, I would say, even most of the cases. But there is that contingent of kids who are just like, oh, that looks like it'll taste good, or that looks fun, or my friend gave it to me, so I didn't put that much thought into it, and I tried it, and I got a quick rush, and it felt good. So I don't like the narrative that every kid who's doing this right. Is like needs psychiatric help necessarily for all their mental health issues. It is something to keep in mind if you're concerned about your child for those things, because it is a lot of kids who are doing it for those reasons. But there is that group that's just like, hey, that looks fun, I'll try it. And keep in mind how it's marketed, which is colorful and flavored, and it looks so cool, and it looks like a high-tech mm-hmm. device, and you get to push a button and a light comes on, and it doesn't look nasty or smell nasty like a cigarette. And the whole like culture around it for a while, it's changing now, has been very positive. It's been marketed as this cool thing that attractive celebrities do. You know, I always put myself, or try to put myself, in the position of a kid. Like, that's what's around me. Why would I think that's a bad thing to do?
Right.
Right?
Right.
So.
Well, and I feel like for a while there, they were like, oh, it's so much better than smoking cigarettes. And so everybody was correct. Like, oh, I'll do it.
And then you have all the people on social media who are like doing tricks with their smokes. And, you know, and I've seen that from kids all the time. It's like they're seeing these tricks and they're like, oh, I'm going to vape just so I can do those cool tricks and make my own social media that people can follow on that.
Exactly right. There's just a lot of positive reinforcement, unfortunately, externally for doing it. With those kind of tricks, and it's just been presented in such a cool way, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was marketed for a long time by celebrities, and it was marketed as a better alternative to cigarettes, and even as a device or means of quitting cigarette smoking, which who wouldn't want that? And you had public health professionals yeah. with incredibly credible, with years and years of experience, publications, scientific leaders who were saying, hey, you know, this is a difficult issue because we want to encourage people to quit smoking. It's awful. It kills, you know, 500,000 people a year. At the same time, you know, this probably wasn't the way to do it. Like, we need better yeah. alternatives, not yeah. this. And it targeted the kids.
Yeah. yeah. And do you yeah. see that there's like an increase in youth smoking because of vaping now?
You know, it's really complicated. Overall, smoking rates have gone down and have gone down quite a bit. And wow. You know, cigarette smoking, the rate of decrease has declined, which is sort of like a wonky way to say it. But what we are seeing is that young people who are vaping are doing so more intensely and more frequently. So even if rates overall of tobacco use are going down, those who are doing it more intensely and frequently. So like in a more concerning way. Mm-hmm. The concern is over time, will it lead, you know, it does increase the risk of an individual child smoking, certainly, if they're a frequent vapor, but we're just not seeing it completely reflected in the national data yet that numbers are going up, and hopefully we won't.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
So as parents, are there signs that we can look out for that our children might be vaping?
Sure. Well, you know, you said one, which is this kind of faint fruity smell. And then we talked about some of the others, which were the behavioral indicators. So a little bit of that irritability and frigidiness. Sometimes parents whose kids have been vaping quite a bit have noticed, you know, dramatic changes in their behavior, such as like kind of erupting all of a sudden, having no patience, like storming out. So again, it's so hard with these things because teenagers are these things all the time. Yeah. Oh, if your child's irritable, it doesn't mean they're vaping. It means they're a young person, yeah. Right? So what you really want to look at is the baseline for your own kid. And have you seen like dramatic or even not so dramatic, but significant changes in how they're interacting with you as a parent, how they're interacting socially? Are they hiding a lot? Are they hiding in their room? Are they kind of always, you know, ducking away during dinner, or if you're a teacher, like during class to head to the bathroom just to get a hit? Because again, if they're addicted, they need to do it pretty frequently, right? So it's these sort of like surreptitious behaviors or unusual behaviors for your own child that you kind of want to be aware of. Some people say, you know, search their room, right? Or search their backpack. Now, I'm of two minds on that. On the one hand, if your child, it's your kid and everything they own is your property and you have a right to go through it. And I kind of think you can, honestly. At the same time, we try and promote for parents like an open, honest relationship with their kids and not like a gotcha, I'm the police and you're the, you know, criminal sort of dynamic. So I think the way to handle that really is to kind of be open with your kid that you're going to do that, you know, and that the reason you're going to check their stuff now and then or check their social media now and then or is because you're concerned about their health and their safety. And, you know, I know everyone says this and it's true, like you really want to come at it from that concern perspective, as opposed to, you know, why are you doing this? It's terrible for you and you're going to be punished and like a very negative framework. Kids are going to be upset if you look through their stuff, but, you know, they're going to be upset at you no matter what you do around certain things. So, you know, it is a concerning health risk. And as a parent, it's kind of the responsibility to make sure that it's not becoming a habit or something they do regularly.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really grateful. And it was on accident, I think, that we ended up finding out about my son, because had we not, it was just this piece, it was easily accessible. That was the first piece. That was the challenge that we had, was it being easily accessible. And I think the other piece was that a lot of his friends were doing it with him, not all of them, but there were friends that were doing it with him. And so they were like looking out for each other. And it was a lot harder to try to find, like, you know, when we had found out, I was like looking through his room. I should have probably told him I was doing it, but I looked through his room and I couldn't find anything. And it was like, but you know, you saying some of those signs, I recognized that he was experiencing some of those things. So I think there's so much power in being aware and paying attention to some of those signs. And I also feel like nowadays it's just really, really hard to catch them. And sometimes that doesn't feel good either, because I think about, you know, if it's really something deeper that's going on, I could probably see that there's like a sense of panic that you're about to pluck the one thing that's helping them calm down, essentially, or like have a relief. And so it's going to be a little bit harder to catch them in the act, so to speak, because they're going to hide it so that they don't get caught with it, because it is such a help.
So that's where the approach, you know, about the just talking with your kid comes in, and you maybe don't have to catch them in the act. So like if you're wondering or think your kid is doing it, I mean, you know, at this point, but let's say other parents who are not sure and they suspect it, you know, one approach is to say to your kid, I know you're vaping and blah, 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 and, you know, start attacking them. And that's not going to end well. The other is, you know, I know a lot of kids are vaping now. I know it's all over the place. It's really accessible. I assume some of your friends are doing it. You know, what do you think about it? What do you know about it? And not that they'll necessarily tell you the truth, but you just sort of get a vibe from how they're answering. And then you can kind of, it doesn't have to be in one conversation one day, but kind of keep going at it and say, why do you think kids do it? Often for young people, when they themselves are doing something, they find it easier to talk about what their friends are doing and why their friends are doing it. So they might say like, well, I know my friend does it because he's, you know, anxious about getting his homework done, and it kind of gets him a little more attention and gets him a little more, you know, hyped up and able to do it. Or, maybe some kids do it because they want to fit in. And you kind of want to listen to that because kids are usually talking about themselves or often in those cases. And then I think it's, you want to say, hey, I'm sure it's occurred to you to do if you have friends doing it, or maybe you are already doing it. And what I really encourage is for you to talk with me about it, because I actually, know that this is a big issue with young people. I've looked into it a lot. I have some good information. I'd really like to share with you what I know about it. Would you be interested? Can I share that information with you? Because sometimes the information young people get is not really always from the best sources. And I want to make sure you're getting the right information, because I know you want to make smart decisions. I know you want to be healthy. I know you don't want to hurt your body and your brain, so sort of that kind of way. Trust me, I have two teenagers. I know that I could say all these things all the time as the expert, and it doesn't always go as planned. And so I would just say two things. One is, if you're having this conversation, your child's resistant and it's not going well, don't push it. Just like say, okay, maybe now's not the best time. We'll talk about this another time, and let it go and pick it up another day. And the other thing is, they might resist or act like they're not hearing you or push you away or get angry, but kids are listening. And, if you have a baseline decent relationship with your child, they're hearing you and they don't want to show it to you necessarily that they're listening, but it's seeping in there, right? So you don't want to just get discouraged and stop. Just kind of keep trying and just do it from that place of like, I care about you. I care about your health. I want you to succeed. I want you to be able to play sports and not get winded quickly. I want you to be able to do well on tests because you know the information, not because you're all hyped up on a drug. I want you to realize that a lot of kids who use this end up smoking cigarettes, which is so disgusting, or end up using these other substances. You don't want to be one of those people. I don't know. So just kind of from that kind of place of concern and just keep going at it.
See, and I think that's a really important piece, is the continuous conversation. It's not like you have one conversation, they may fight you on it, and then you don't have it again. Or you think like, oh, I'm just going to tell them it's really bad for you, you shouldn't do it. Like, it almost makes me think even school, it needs to be a proactive conversation in schools and at home, and not just at home, because I feel like most of the access is in school between kids.
Unfortunately, that's very true. And schools are very nervous about it and trying in some cases to do more. In some places, they feel like it's not their responsibility or they've thrown up their hands. It's sort of the same thing for schools as, I would say for parents, which is be like seen by kids as a credible, honest, accurate source of information, not like you're coming to scaremonger and threaten and punish. And, we're going to search your locker and you're going to be expelled if we catch it. Like, this is a health issue that kids then bring on themselves. Like, the massive industry with tons of money brought it on them. And the more we see kids, I don't like to use the word victim, but like as sort of victims of this new industry, I think we'll have more compassion for them. Yeah. And anyone who's ever, had a little too much alcohol or smoked too much cigarettes or used too much marijuana knows how hard it is to resist it. So it's this really powerful product that that young kids are taking and that they're being bombarded with. And you kind of have to be like their partner in resisting it instead of their adversary. Another thing I think schools don't do enough and probably should do more of is that sort of like media and marketing literacy. Mm. As you're teaching all sorts of other things, any opportunity to show young people like that the information they're being exposed to typically has an agenda behind it. I'm not saying to polarize kids more, but to just kind of understand how all that works. And that when they're seeing an ad or when they're seeing their favorite celebrity vaping or pushing a weed product, there's money behind that. They're not interested in like the kids' health and well-being. They want to make money off it. And so young people, especially teenagers, it's so important to them to be independent and not manipulated, that you kind of sort of appeal to that sentiment in them if possible. Like, you don't want to be controlled by some big rich business guy, right? You want to do your own thing. You want to like live a good life. You want to be the big rich business guy in the end who's controlling others, right? So that kind of works. Some people push the environmental issues, surprisingly, because actually vapes are environmental disasters and they just get thrown all over the place. Mm. And it's, so for kids who care about that issue, use that, kids who are interested in sports, it is very detrimental to stamina, to being able to perform well athletically. So you kind of want to appeal to what you think will be of interest to the young person. Yeah. And educating like school staff and parents and the kids with accurate information is really important.
Yeah.
I like that last piece is educating the staff around it too, because I'm a school teacher and we know what's happening, but it's like, how do we stop it? We can't just search on thinking that it's there. And there's so many aspects that get into it, but I like the idea of the media marketing literacy that really hit me. I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. We can definitely tie that into all those different things. And you're right. Doing the environmentalist or, you know, having multiple approaches is going to help prevent it. And it's just about talking about it. We don't talk about it. We know what's going on. There's side conversations in the background, but it's never actually just put out into the full school of like, hey, we know what's going on. This is prevalent in our community. Let's talk about it. Let's bring it forth. One of the things that I've heard this year is that they're putting vape detectors in our bathrooms. And how accurate is that? Is that something that is actually possible? Or I don't believe that it's possible, but maybe you can convince me otherwise.
It's a thing. A lot of schools have been doing it for years. It's one of those sort of after the fact approaches instead of the preventive approaches that I prefer. So what are you going to do? So yeah, the vape detector goes off, the principal or whichever staff has it on their phone gets notified. Then what? Then they're running over there and the kid's long gone, or the kids know how to do it in the one spot in the bathroom where it's not going, or they put their sweatshirt over. Like, it's a tool. It's a tool. I'm not saying don't do it, but that's not solving the problem. Right. I would prefer, and I don't, they can't put cameras in bathrooms, and this happens mostly in bathrooms. So you can't put cameras in bathrooms, obviously, for, you know, privacy reasons, even for kids. But I think you can have a staff or faculty member sort of randomly at various times roaming in and out of the bathrooms, not being, you know, looking in the stalls, obviously, but, you know, have it not be such a kids only safe place, and have it be, you know, don't take the doors off the stalls, but, you know, a faculty member can go in there and wash his hands. And once kids know that this is no longer a safe kids only place, it's not going to be as likely to be used. Those detectors, you know, again, one tool in the toolbox and probably not the most effective one, but I don't know. I understand schools trying everything.
That gotcha effect. Like, we got you caught. Now we're going to search all of your stuff, and instead of being preventative.
Yeah. But it's, and it's not going to fix the issue. It's only going to temporarily in that moment address one part of it, or maybe, you know, kids aren't doing it at the school or in that bathroom, but they're finding another way to do it. I mean, this is something I've learned with my eighth grader. Like, you put a boundary on and you are really clear with it, but then they find a loophole to get to the next space. And it's like, that no longer works. It's like, how are we educating them to empower them so that they're choosing not to?
Correct. And also, just one more thing with that bathroom is, the kid you're catching is the kid who unfortunately is the slowest and not the fastest moving to get out of there, or not the best liar. Right? You're not catching the kids doing it. You're catching the unfortunate kid who couldn't get out of it.
Yeah, totally.
But 100%, like, really just shifting our perspective on a sort of the gotcha, you know, consequences phase to the earlier prevention. And, you know, we always say it's never too early to start talking about these things. Is that to say, you know, you take a five-year-old and talk about vaping? No, that's not to say that at all.
Okay.
It's, you take a five-year-old and you talk about, like, how to handle their emotions or their discomforts, and how to cope better, and how to, like, come, you know, be open about talking about their feelings. And just, like, the more kids can cope with things in a healthy way, or find better outlets and healthier outlets when they're feeling uncomfortable or stressed, which is normal. And that could be exercise, that could be any sort of thing, singing, whatever it is, or giving them sort of like healthier risk-taking options to do, or challenging things, because that's what kids are looking for, right? Doing all that from an early age helps, setting the stage that, you know, you're a partner for them in their health and in their, you know, positive functioning and not their adversary. That's helpful for ensuring or helping to promote them to come to you later on if they are feeling some sort of issue or concerned about something. And even with substances themselves, like, yeah, a five-year-old can understand that smoking cigarettes or vaping is not a good thing. So if you're seeing it in the around you, And they comment on it, you don't want to say, oh, don't worry about it, it's nothing. Like, talk about it. Say, oh, yeah, something some people do. It's really not very healthy. And, you know, people like it, but it's not one of the things you would want to do. And you sort of set those expectations pretty early on. Like, I expect you not to use those kind of things that affect your brain and body in bad ways. Like, we want you to be a healthy person and grow, you know, strong, blah, blah, blah. And there's these age-appropriate ways of having these conversations, but you're never like introduced to a young kid or a preteen or a teenager as a parent, like the draw to go try something they wouldn't otherwise. Like, that's not something parents have to worry about by talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like the idea of the prevention versus the gotcha, like you're talking about, because for me, it touches on that humanity piece that I think sometimes we miss around in the gotcha culture of like, okay, you did something and now I'm going to really, you're in trouble and I'm got you and all these consequences, versus like really hitting the root cause of like, why are the kids dabbling in this? Because there's got to be a reason. And so being more preventative really, really creates that more empathetic side versus that. It's not inhumane, but like the less empathetic side that I think kids then feel even worse about it, you know?
I completely agree. Yeah. I think that's 100% right. And, you know, and today we're in the age of like really having more awareness around sort of kids' mental health struggles. And not every kid has to have like a diagnosable serious mental illness to turn to this stuff. It just might be that they're not so great at coping with their feelings of anxiety, or they don't feel comfortable with friends, and they feel like, you know, just sort of saying, okay, I'll try it, is going to give them a leg up. And, you know, so giving them the tools and the support to just be more comfortable with themselves and having other alternative, healthier ways of dealing with inevitable stress and discomfort, because we're not going to wash that away from life.
Right.
Just helping kids deal with it in a better way will go a long way. It's not going to eradicate the problem, but it can actually quite help.
So is there like an increase in marijuana use now because of vaping, like marijuana use with youth?
So marijuana vaping has become a big thing. It's definitely, since the vaping products have become popular, marijuana vaping is certainly a thing among young preteens and teenagers, and definitely young adults, like college age and students. So it's basically the THC, which is the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana. It goes into a vape product. They're sold that way, but you can also take the cartridge that has the nicotine in it and spill out what's in there and replace it with e-liquid that contains THC. So there's ways to do it. The problem with marijuana vapes is that it's highly unregulated right now. The amount of THC, which again, like nicotine, is the ingredient that kind of affects your brain, varies tremendously from one product to the other. A lot of these products are made in China and sort of sold here illegally. And it's really unpredictable what people are putting in, you know, what's in their vape. I don't know if you remember, but before COVID hit, we had something called EVOLI, which was like this big crisis of these serious lung illnesses and injuries that young people, and actually people of all ages, were experiencing. And there were about 70 deaths that were recorded. It was really a lot of attention was going to that, and it was traced back to vaping. Mm-hmm. Initially, people thought it was nicotine vaping, and then it sort of became clear it was more THC vaping, that the products were laced with all kinds of other chemicals and toxic things that were really affecting people. The news around that kind of died down as soon as COVID came and hit, which makes sense, but it hasn't gone away. It's still an issue. So a lot of these marijuana vapes have a lot of other things in them that could be quite dangerous and hazardous. But yes, teenage vaping of marijuana is a significant issue. It's about 25% of 8th, 10th, and 12th graders this year in a national survey said they've done it in their lifetime.
Wow.
About 12% said that they did it in the past month, which is usually like a typical indicator of, are they doing it regularly?
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that because of stuff like this, that like something like fentanyl could be in this?
It's a really good question. So I'm going to be very honest with you. So there is a way to deliberately vape fentanyl, like intentionally, and you could put it into a vape, right? The odds of unintentionally vaping fentanyl is very low. And it's actually, it's mostly anecdotal at this point. There are a lot of news stories out there. If you follow up on them, usually they were wrong, the reports. Fentanyl really doesn't, vaping products don't reach the temperature that is required to vape fentanyl. Like it just doesn't, it's not a good delivery mechanism for fentanyl. So again, if you intentionally are doing it and you know the exact way to do it, and that's how you want to ingest your fentanyl, that's happening. But in terms of like a nicotine or marijuana vaping product that's being bought and that kids are using, for now, for the most part, it's mostly anecdotal that that's happening. There isn't really good evidence of it at all. That's not to say it can't change. I mean, fentanyl is in our supply. It's everywhere. But sort of economically and the market structures around it and chemically, it doesn't make sense as things stand now. So it's not a massive concern, but I think it's just good for kids to realize fentanyl is sort of everywhere and a problem. But I wouldn't lie about that to kids just to scare them off. I don't think it's a good tactic.
Okay, so if a parent, you know, has caught their kid or found out that their child is vaping, like what would you suggest being those next steps for the parents?
So, you know, with everything, it's always, as we said, to understand why, if they're willing to share with you, like, and sometimes they can't articulate it. Sometimes they don't know, but to the extent that you can get at that reasoning, it's really helpful because then what you could do is help them find an alternative, healthier way to deal with that issue. Feeling comfortable with friends, addressing their anxiety, you know, having an oral fixation, which some kids develop, you know, people used to bite their nails or chew gum. Now they're doing this, right? So like, just to kind of understand that what's driving it or what about it really satisfies them or keeps them going. And if a child's been using it for a while, they may not be able to articulate this, but the answer is going to be they're addicted to it and they can't stop. So that's
what's a while? Will you clarify what's a while? Like, is it a month? Is it 6 months? Like what?
I would say it's a month if they're doing it regularly. Yeah. I mean, if it's something like, you know, once a week when they happen to be with their friend Joey and that's it, and it's very isolated, I don't know that I'd be in a panic. But if it's, if they're doing it every day at a young age, an eighth grader, likely they're addicted. The addiction sets in quickly. And that's a scary word. It could be addressed, especially with a young person. If you're addressing it early enough, it's not like it's going to be a lifetime addiction and there's ways to help them. I would always say consider the mental health issues around it, because often if you're just addressing the vaping and they do have other mental health issues that are unaddressed, then they're just going to turn to the next thing to help them. Right. Yeah. So you, even if you can get rid of the vaping, then they're doing marijuana, then they're drinking, you know, so you kind of want to get at that underlying issue. Often, if you could try to just figure something out with them where you remove, if they're willing, and you remove all the devices and all the stuff so it's out of their temptation, you kind of keep them away from the friends or the situations where they're most likely to do it, then that can help a little. But often you kind of, not often, you may need the help of like a pediatrician or some clinician to help give some advice. There are these really good, depending on the child's age, online and text-based programs that are actually quite effective in helping kids quit. There's an organization called the Truth Initiative that puts that out, and it sort of just encourages, motivates, gives information. And it's just really a very nice program for young people to help, and older people actually, to help them quit vaping.
Okay.
And then we have resources actually on our website, obviously, for parents to kind of help support them, support their kids as well. So,
and what do you, how do you feel about like if a parent were to do like nicotine tests on their kids to make sure that they've not engaged in it again, to be proactive? Is that a thing you would suggest?
You mean if they say they're not using it anymore and you want to test them?
Yeah.
So people feel very differently about this issue, and I could sort of see all the sides. Our approach, and when I say our approach, I mean our organization, is sort of not in favor of a parent doing any kind of drug testing, because it's, again, that issue we were talking about before, that you're going to catch them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're very concerned, I would sooner involve the doctor in it or some sort of clinician and let them be the one doing it, because it really kind of, it's a big thing to put into your relationship with your child when at the same time you're trying to get them to be open and honest with you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And our last question that we ask everyone is, what is your best parenting advice you can give about vaping?
I think this is my best parenting advice about everything related to these kind of issues, which is the importance of modeling, parent modeling. And I don't mean because you're the parent, you can never have a drink of alcohol, or, you know, if marijuana is legal in your state, go ahead and use it, right? Like, all that's fine. The modeling is, when it comes to substance use, is sort of the messages you're conveying to your kid around it. Are you conveying, like, when you come home from work, oh gosh, I need to have a drink, I'm so stressed out, or, oh my God, I'm so nervous, I got to take a pill, or I got to, you know, smoke. So it's not controlling what the parent's doing. It's controlling sort of the messages the parent is sending to the child around it. And we do talk a lot about parents communicating openly with their kids and talking. But I have to say that, like, what a parent is doing has a more of an impact on a kid than whatever you're saying. And I would just say one more thing, that modeling beyond substance use extends to, like, modeling good coping skills, modeling healthy behaviors, modeling, like, oh, I feel very stressed out right now, so I'm going to go for a run, or I'm going to, you know, take a nice walk, as opposed to I'm going to do something that's unhealthy for me. And kids watch that stuff. And I think that's really, like, across the board, the, you know, the most effective tool parents have.
Yeah. So if people want support or need to find you online, or support for vaping, where can they find you, or what online resources can you share?
So my organization, Partnership to End Addiction, has a whole host of resources, from guides and articles for parents, for schools, for health professionals. We have a whole network of support services, all at no cost for parents. Whether it's text messaging programs or a helpline, you could speak with somebody who has experience with this on a personal level, or with a mental health professional. And all, again, all at no cost. And all that could be found at drugfree.org, www.drugfree.org. And yeah, we have tons and tons of stuff and great information. And I will also give a shout out to the Truth Initiative, is a different nonprofit organization that has resources directly for young people, because our resources are more for the adults who care for young people.
Okay. Linda, thank you so much for all your wise suggestions and gold.
Well, thank you.
Great information. I think this has been very helpful.
Oh, so great. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for listening to Uncensored Parenting. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Uncensored Parenting Podcast. We're out.
Electric Acid.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, is that the chair? No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big home touchdown.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric Acid.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together, we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.